Let's pray. Lord, we want to say again, you're welcome here. Just come and reveal yourself to us. Make yourself known to us. We want to be the men and women you created us to be, not a pale reflection of it. We want to be a spirit-filled church, not a pale reflection of it, witnessing in the community to which we belong, seeing lives changed. So hear our prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. So we continue on our journey through this series, Life Balance. Can I just say that I have prepared the leaflet for this coming week. It's just that I've forgotten to print it. We will seek to remedy that following the service, but it was only during the first song that I realised that it was still on the computer and not on paper, so we will sort that, and if you're a group leader or a representative of a group, just come and pick up the sheets as soon as they're ready. It shouldn't take too long, at which point the printer decides to die. I know, you know, but we trust that that's of the Spirit if that happens. So we're thinking this morning of Spirit life. Practicing the Spirit-empowered life. Practicing the sort of life that says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We've been looking at these various things, and we've said how there are different movements in the life and existence of the church as we look at history that are given words like tradition or movement. When they become fossilized, they become denominations. But the charismatic tradition is one of these, and it speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit in a particular way. Last week, we were looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in another way. We were looking at the idea of holiness and the way God has raised up the idea of holiness again and again through Christian history. Living life God's way. Obeying his commands to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then going on to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Which to some extent means loving those we perhaps don't even know as beloved of God, just as we are beloved of God. And we saw how holiness is not optional. It's not okay for some people and not for others. It's obedience to Christ's command. A holy life witnesses to the goodness and righteousness and love of God. But we have to be careful because there's a negative. Is it possible to become holier than thou? And our holiness must not be distorted by pride. But the New Testament sees holiness. Indeed, the whole of Scripture sees holiness as a proof of salvation. A godlike and Godward life. Christlikeness is what we seek. You see, Jesus came into this world, born a baby, and will soon. I was in Morrison's yesterday, and I see all the Christmas aisles are now open. It's Christmas, folk. Sorry, that's a depressing thought from that point of view. But it's coming, and we will remember at Christmas the way God came into the world as a human. The trouble is, all the stuff on those shelves tends to pile up over that central truth, which is what we as Christians want to remember at Christmas. And he came into this world for one reason. And that was because people had become separated from God the Father. And the thing which separates people from God the Father is sin. Sorry if I shock you by using that word, these words. It often seems to be more preferable we use things like mistakes and error and those sorts of words. But sin means going against God's will. And we can't help ourselves. We just do it, chiefly because each of us has a bit of us that wants to be God. Well, we have a bit of us that needs to be filled by God. That's the way we're created to be. So we decide that we'd better fill it. And we do with ourselves. That's why our souls become so corrupt so easily. Because they're not filled with God. And Jesus came because it was impossible for us to bridge that gap. We couldn't get from where we are to God's presence because God will not tolerate sin and sinfulness. And the gap's so great we can't fill it. So the Son, the one we call the Son, said to the other members of the Godhead, the Father, the Spirit, I'll go. I'll put myself on the line. I'll walk the way they walk. I'll experience the things they experience. I'll do it all in perfect communion with you, Father, but I'll have all the vulnerability about me that a human being has. But I will live for you. And the Father said, you know what that will mean? And the Son says, yes, they'll kill me for it. They won't want to know. Which, of course, is exactly what happened. But what we did not realize when we killed the most perfect person the world has ever known was that that was the remedy that we needed. Because somebody had to pay the price for our sin. And Jesus said, let it be me. Let me, God, pay the price so that they can be one with us. They can't do it themselves. So I'll become one of them. And when I die, let their sin die and raise them to new life. And I imagine, and this isn't in the Bible, but I imagine the Holy Spirit saying, but how do we keep them on track then? If you're willing to do that, I'm willing to go and live in each one of them, to be God in them. Doesn't matter if they talk about me, I'm quite happy for them to talk about Jesus coming to live in their lives. But I'll be doing the job. That way, they can perhaps see the possibility of becoming like you, Son. You see, holiness, Christ-likeness too, is the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot begin to live a Christ-like life without Him working on us, without Him making it real. Last week I quoted a verse from the Message, 1 Peter 1, 15-16. There's a picture there of Christ at a potter's wheel. And As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. It's possible because I'm living within you, says the Holy Spirit. That's what you've got to do, just let me live in every part of your life. Wake up every morning and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And as many moments through the day as you get the opportunity, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And live your lives knowing that that's true. And then you'll begin to see a change. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When I was 16, and I know a lot of you have heard this before, but I apologize. No, I don't. But when I was 16, I went to a Youth for Christ meeting in Loughborough, which was close by where I lived. Happened once a month, every month. Make it a date, first Sunday at 8. See, something sticks from it. And called Youth Rendezvous. And it was run by the father and brother of Trevor Partridge, who went on to work with CWR. He was sort of Selwyn Hughes's right-hand man for many years. And I remember one evening we had this couple of men, well, they weren't really men, they were boys, you know, they were probably in their early 20s. There was this bloke called Clive Calver, who had this happy guitarist with him called Graham Kendrick, and I remember the challenge that evening. You need to say yes to Jesus. Personally, you need to say yes to Jesus. That's what makes the difference. That's how we get saved. That's how we become Christians, saying yes to Jesus. So everybody went forward, and I thought, I'm not going forward. But when I got home, I remember standing outside the back door and saying, Lord, I need that. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Will you come and live in my life? And then I carried on with the rest of my teenage years and sixth form, I suppose, much the same as I'd been doing up till then. I went to a church that wasn't particularly evangelical, where we didn't get... There's a spider around here. Sorry, Aaron. And it was only when I was at college that I felt very lonely, very out of place. I was in Wimbledon to the south of London, which is a nice place but can be very lonely. And I just found myself calling out to God and saying, God, I need something more than this. If it's real, then make it real. And I sent... Well, I sensed that... I was going to say, I know an old lady who swallowed a fly, so don't be... It's still there. Oh, never mind, it's supposed to be here. I just knew there had to be more, and I was at a teacher training college and sensed more and more that teaching was not what I was called to do with my life. I did have a while when I thought it was singing professionally, and sometimes along the way I've wished I'd gone that way. But I just found myself getting down on my knees by the side of my bed again and again and again and saying, God, it's got to be something. And I remember one day going to a service in the college. They were singing Father, we adore you. Jesus, we adore you. Spirit, we adore you. Lay our lives before you. And as that song was being sung, I don't think I'd ever heard the song before. I mean, this was in the early 1970s, so these songs were all brand new. They were the latest thing. And God just said, he just took me into a place of his own, away from everybody. I mean, I was there, but I was out of it, and just said, Paul, I want you in my ministry. And I said, yes, Lord. And I was back in the song, singing the song. A few months later, I mean, I can tell you when that was. That was the 17th of November, 1974. And then a few months later, on the 6th of March, 1975, I found myself somewhere where there was somebody speaking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the need to have the Holy Spirit, if this was really going to work out, if we were really going to seek to be like Christ. And I remember going forward at that meeting. It was one of those meetings at which, if I'd not gotten forward, the chair I was on would have got forward and taken me to the front and tipped me off. You know, it was the sense of the Holy Spirit was that powerful. And nothing happened. I went and I prayed in faith. Nothing happened. And but as Nicky Gumbel says, when the Holy Spirit is invited in prayer, nothing never happens. That was on a Thursday night, and on the Saturday afternoon, I remember walking down Wimbledon High Street, and all of a sudden, it was as if I was walking 6 inches off the ground. The Holy Spirit just filled my heart with love and joy and peace that I had never known. And I began to be able to say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I thought, yes, that's what I want. I can't say it's always been like that. It's never been an even road, and there have been many, many failures. And I suppose it's the failures rather than the successes that tend to stick in your mind. But as I went on and got into training for ministry, I began to realize that this was all right, but I needed more. If I was going to be a minister, if I was going to be involved in church building in some way, if we were going to do church together properly, more was needed of the Holy Spirit. But I wasn't quite sure what it was. Well, let me read to you some verses from John 4. This is our 14. This is our reading. I'm going to read some verses. Probably easier just to watch it on the screen, because I'm going to flip from John 14 to John 15 to John 16. And I forgot to look up the page number. But it will be on the screen behind me. Jesus said all these words to his disciples. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The word advocate there is variously translated. Advocate there is, in the sort of legal sense, sometimes some versions of the Bible say counselor. Not counselor in terms of Liz or Carol, people who are trained to sit and listen to people, but counselor as in the legal term. In America, they call lawyers advocates and counselors much more than we do. That's what it's getting at. Somebody who will argue your case and who will present cases to you. Also, it can be translated comforter. And one of the things about having a good legal representative when you need a legal representative is that they do the worrying for you. That's what they're paid to do. Anyway, another advocate, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth will go out from the Father. He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. We have a calling to fulfill in this world. And Jesus is saying, we're only going to fulfill that calling through the power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were left unprepared for the task ahead of them when Jesus left them at the ascension. But he said, go and wait in Jerusalem. Power from on high is going to come on you. And when you receive that power, you're going to find the way of going out into the streets of Jerusalem and out into Samaria and beyond into the nations. And you're going to go to the world. And you're going to baptize them in my name as they realize who I am and respond to me, and then you're going to teach them my way. And I'll be with you every step of the way until the end of the ages. And so, not knowing what else to do, they did what many of us have done over the years. They went to the place and they waited. And they waited for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, the Spirit came in a way that left none of them in any doubt that they had received a visitation of God's Spirit. They felt a breeze blowing. They say they saw flames on one another. It's very interesting, and there have been researchers who have done this and looked at charismatic experience. I'll come back to the word charismatic in a moment, and have said that often there are two physical things that people experience. They talk to feeling a breeze, and they talk of feeling heat and warmth, wind and fire. Charismatic. That word's become a problem, but it doesn't need to. It's a word that's used by Paul in the New Testament. Charismata. It literally means gifts of grace. The Holy Spirit is the giving gift. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Not a gift to be stuck in the bottom drawer and left unopened until sometime when we find it years in the future. and then we feel, oh, that's redundant now. But it's a gift to be opened every day. And it's the gift that gives us the ability to stand up and speak for Christ, whether that's with words or with actions. We have to have the Holy Spirit as well to unite us. It's the Holy Spirit who brings unity to God's people. And he gives gifts. He gives gifts of tongues. I mean, I have to say to you, when you see me sit at the front here before I get up to preach every Sunday, I'm praying in tongues. And I've usually prayed extensively in tongues before coming to church because somehow it hits the mark more than my words can do, because it's the Holy Spirit expressing his prayer and me joining with that prayer. And sometimes it's spoken out and people bring interpretations. And sometimes we have words of wisdom that unlock something, and we say, I don't know what this means, but let me just share it. And somebody says, oh, that's a word of knowledge for me. It opens up, it shows me I need to respond to God in this particular way. Either by seeking him more, or going to this person and saying this, or by thinking out how I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this way. Or was the gift of healing. I'm not going to go through a teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit just now. That's going to have to wait till the new year. But God equips us to be his witnessing body in the world today. He has not left us resourceless. He has not left us hopeless. And sometimes I must admit there are days when I think, what is church life about? I suppose when you're the minister, you do tend to have it, but sometimes it's tempting to think that church life is an organization to allow people to complain and grumble. And frankly, sometimes I hear a lot more complaining and grumbling than I do encouragement and genuine compassion for one another. I'm not saying that's always the case, and I'm not tarring you with any brush. I'm just saying that's how some days it seems, and one knows if that's how it seems, we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need to confess, and we need to recognize that God will forgive us and the Holy Spirit will take over if we let him. I've been through the doldrums for about a year. You know what the doldrums are? It's what sailors used to find themselves in. They'd have their ship, they were supposed to be going from A to B, and then they got to a place and there was absolutely no wind. Just no wind to get into the sails. And the ship just stayed where it was. Sometimes it could go on for weeks. And then the breeze would pick up again. And the captain knew how to tack the sails so they were in the, we got the right sails at the right angle to take benefit of the wind and begin to move again. And I've not got to the end of it yet, I know that, but I've been again and again and again saying, God, what's the way forward for us together? What is it that you're wanting us to do? I'm not finished in my ministry yet, and I'm not going to finish till I finish, and I want to be doing something effective, but I want to be doing your effective, not my effective. And a little while ago, back in May, a member of our congregation, I think I've mentioned this particular testimony, and She said, as she often does from time to time, "It's about time you spoke at Friday Night Live again." I mean, I'm not going to say who it is, but that's what they said to me. And I said, "Okay." And she said, "You'll need to let me have a title." And I said, "Yes, it's Love Me Again." And that was a week last Friday. And I just spoke as I felt led by the Spirit that evening, as I am doing this morning, because none of this really, apart from what you've seen on the screen, has been prepared. And I've just... felt, yeah, that's what it is. That's what my call is. Just to keep on saying, "Love me again." To you. To me. To the world. Love me again. And it all came out of a particular occasion, a lot of years ago now, over 20 years, when I was stood behind Niagara Falls in the caves there. You go down the lift and you're able to walk along the tunnel behind the falls, and there are big portholes and you see the water streaming down with great power. The whole place shakes. And I was with a friend and I just felt God giving me a word that I had to write down. And I keep coming back to it. And I've come back to it again and said, "Lord, act on it. This is the word. My children, in great power, I carved out for you a place in the world." I mean, Niagara Falls is at the end of the gorge, carved out by the falls. "A place many would visit for my blessing, and in you I forged my will. But you have turned away from my creative power, a power to create out of you a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You have blocked the flow of my water by your disobedience and lack of love for me, though I have saved you. You have become satisfied with a little gentle stream. In many places, not even that, for you rejoice in a stagnant pond. Turn back to me, for the stagnant pond evaporates in the heat of the day. My power is still flowing. The Spirit is still carving a place in the world for my people. Come to me, be overwhelmed by me, receive my love, stand in the flow, stand in the roar of the waterfall. My children, I, your God, am not instructing you. I, the Holy God, am begging you, return to me and live." We need to keep on returning if we're going to live. Remember what Joe was saying in that video at the beginning. It can be as simple as saying every morning, "You're welcome, Holy Spirit. Come into my life and fill me today." And it may be that nothing happens there and then, but with the Holy Spirit, nothing never happens. And sometimes we have to do exactly what the disciples did in Jerusalem, which was to wait on God. So let's just be quiet now for a few moments, and let's just wait. Holy Spirit, fill this room with your presence. Speak to each one of us here. Perhaps you might speak to some of their need to get right with you and to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Perhaps there are others of us that you're convicting because it's so long since we said to you, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life and in my service for you." Whatever it is, let's just wait on you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Some of us get very afraid in these sorts of times. What if the Holy Spirit makes me shake, rattle and roll? What if somebody comes forward and ends up lying on the floor? Just want to say, if that happens to somebody, it just means the pressure of the Holy Spirit on their lives makes it easier to lie down than to stand up. That's all it is. But as we sing this song that the band are going to lead us in now, I just want to invite you, if you want to pray that prayer, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here in my life. Come forward, and I just want to anoint you with oil. Oil is one of the signs of the coming of the Spirit, of the presence of the Spirit. We just anoint you with oil. It may be the first time you've done this, it may be the thousandth. And if you feel that you really want to commit your life to Jesus, just come and sit on the front pew here, and somebody, one of our prayer ministry team, will come to you and will just talk with you and pray with you. Thank you, Eric. Let's sing this.